When you're at the front of the classroom, looking out on your students, what skills do you see them developing in your courses? Our first answer should point to the objectives on the syllabus. And of course, that's a good answer. We thought about what we want the students to be able to do and compose the objectives clearly and concisely. But when we think about broad applications, sometimes referred to as soft skills, what can our disciplines cultivate? Now, every department in every school at every university claims to teach critical thinking. It's at the point of cliché. But if you have ever deliberately tried to answer, how will my course help students who are going to become social workers, lawyers, business analysts, or even welders, you've probably felt the difficulty of setting aside personal experience to imagine tasks and scenarios that at first seem extraneous. I recently sat down with Juliette Bourdier, an assistant professor in the French, Francophone, and Italian Studies here at the College of Charleston, to discuss an undergraduate journal she has created for second language French students. She discussed with me how it came about, what it requires, and what she sees as its core objectives. I had assumed her journal, Librement, was giving future academics an opportunity to get first publications on their CVs. But what she answered surprised and inspired me.
When I was a student in France, an undergraduate student, I was doing several bachelor degrees at the same time, and I was at Sciences Po, Institut d'études politiques de Paris, and one of my professors did that. He built something for us. Of course, it was not internet, because we didn't have that thing at that time. But he made a journal where he actually mixed undergraduate, graduate, and professors. And he would spend so much time trying to convince professor to put their work with us to make us feel good about ourselves. So the idea came from the fact that students spend a lot of time during the semester producing papers, sometimes doing very smart research, and then I'm the only one to read it. And so I felt that way when I was a grad student, and I would spend the entire semester writing my paper, and then only my professor would read it. And then when I complained, he would say, why don't you rework it and publish it? which I did. And so I thought, maybe we should work on that. So what I started to do was to share the paper in class. So as my student write their paper, starting in 200 level, 300 level, 400 level, I make them share their thought as they build their paper. We do long process writing paper. So my students usually write their paper on 1 month or 2 months, you know, step by step, starting with a theme, then they take a subject, then they find a question, then they write a thesis statement, and then we write the paper step by step during the semester. And when we do so, we share our thought by group, so students actually present what they found out, and they get advices and guidance from the other students. And so there's that kind of teamwork toward building different projects. Then the second step I did was to do booklets. So at the end of the semester, since we start so early the process of writing, usually the paper is ended before the end of the semester. And the last day of the semester, the final, what we do is we do a presentation, oral presentation of their paper, but orally. So we have to summarize the entire paper and give a talk that lasts 2 or 3 minutes in front of the group of what they've done. So, you know, they have a sharing, so it's not only about me anymore.
That reminds me kind of like an like an abstract at the beginning of a journal article.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it sounds like you're forcing them to really be into the journal process of it.
Yes,
as well.
Yeah. I guess so. Thank you. I guess so. So the second step is that I made some booklets in the class. So the last day of the class, when we would present their work, I would give booklets of each papers that I printed in a little. I tried to make it fancy, but it was kind of not very elegant as I like it. And then the first step is I created a magazine published on campus. So very fancy, nice paper, beautiful colors. You've seen one of them.
Yeah, the paper is very heavy. It's really nice.
Well, you know, this kind of project, it's I won't say it's easy, but it gets the interest of people who give grants, because these kind of project are very visible, especially when you do nice presentation like I have done with Bruit de Moquette, where it's very shiny, a lot of nice pictures, very heavy work on setting up a nice layout of the documents. So then we can spread that on campus each time we have Parents Week and a fair, major fairs, or anything that is shining for the campus.
And so you print more than just the number of students in the
class? Oh, absolutely. I do. Last time I did, the one I did, it was 500. And so we give two for it. I give two to each student, so they can give one to their parents, give one for themselves. And then I give some to diverse departments. And I give some in class to the next generation of students to show them what they could do. And of course, each time I have major fairs, parents weekend, etc., I put some in the tables, and I see some parents picking some and saying, oh, you know, and then I come closer to them and say, hey, your kid could do that. Hey, this is the French department. You want to?
That's funny. That's great. I mean, I would imagine, like, when I've taught writing in the, like, an English class, I taught English for a while. I would often give them a sample paper because they can say, oh, this is what it's going to look like at the end. And I would imagine it's a great teaching strategy, is saying, here, this is what the final project is going to look like.
Absolutely.
What is your primary learning objective for those who are submitting work to your literary journal?
From my point of view, 95% of our students, probably 99% of our students, won't become us. So even though we are mimicking the process of what us professors and instructors are going through when we publish our own work, our own research, that is not my primary objective. And so what I'm trying to teach them is professional behavior. So what I work on very heavily is to figure out how to organize their ideas and to formulate them properly without repetitions, without losing their thought and going back and forth from one idea to another, which is what they tend to do if you don't help them to focus. So that's one of the competency I try to work on. And then, of course, for me, I see it as a professional practice, as a professional process to put yourself out on the market. So not only is going to put a line on their resume, on their CV, and we are very proud of that line, you know, being published in an academic journal, but also they learn the process of being rejected. They learn the process of having to rework their paper, because, you know, sometimes, most of the time, 90% of the time, they're going to send me something, and then I say, hey, that's a good job, but you know what? I need you to redo it. Boom, boom, boom. Qu'importe l'endroit de compter.
Can you tell us about the process of the journal from the time that you have a call for papers to the time that you actually publish it?
I send a call for paper, and then I ask students to send me an abstract that you saw, right? And I send them an abstract, I send them title. So I send them, I ask them for two abstracts, French, English, five words, keywords, and a little blurb about themselves. Then I read them, I see how they are formulated in English just and in French, give me an idea how they can write. And then I send them an email and I give them all the informations of what I'm expecting as a full paper.
And these are all students whose French is their second language.
Absolutely.
At least their second language.
Yes. And then these, they submit their papers. So the papers are between 900 and 2,500 words.
More like a quality versus quantity.
Quantity, absolutely, yeah. Okay. And then I read them, right? So I'm the first filter, and I will be the one decides if they are worth being read by someone else, because since very few of my colleagues or other people have accepted to participate to that project, I do not want to waste their time.
Well, tell me this though, if it takes so much time, why do you do it?
So the real reason why is because I care and because I think it might have an impact for my department, for my school, Liqua, and I'm so proud to belong to a school, to belong in a college that has its own school for language and cultural affair. I think that it's amazing that we have our own school. It means something for me, something huge. When you think that many big universities have only one department that has all the language and anything together, I think my project absolutely fits the global behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, I created a program for professional French, French business, but it's really professional French. And I think that this kind of product has a pure effect to prepare students to the professional world. Mm-hmm. Because again, I think that 99% of our students won't be us.
So one won't be professors.
Won't be mm-hmm. professors. Yeah. So the 1% that will become professors, they have that thing. Mm-hmm. The others, they have a line on their resume, whether they go to grad school or whether they're going to the world, the professional world directly, they have a line on their resume. And that line on their resume is actually very important. Because anyone who has ever published something, who has ever written a report, who has ever thrown his thoughts outside, knows how much work, how much personal, intimate things you have to put to write a paper, how much night, coffee. I was going to say cigarette, but it's not appropriate. You had to go through until you produce a right thing that can be published.
Yeah.
Being published is something. It's something huge. That's my belief. La nuit on dort pas on danse, et quand on danse pas on pense, on cherche des réponses à toutes ces questions qu'on ne pose pas.
This podcast is a production of the Teaching and Learning team. Many thanks go to Juliette Bourdier for speaking with me about her undergraduate academic journal, Libre Mot, which means free word, and covers a variety of topics such as economy, sociology, and cinematography. She is currently preparing a volume on medieval studies and another on social case studies. To see her journal, simply type Libre Mot in your search bar. Libre Mot is spelled LIBREMOT. If you access this podcast on my website, you can find the link to Libre Mot just below the podcast play bar. Thank you for listening.